Checking on the Arts is made possible by the Memphis Symphony Orchestra. Well, you know, it's the summertime, which means that the arts scene is drying up a little bit, and we'll get cranked back up with that in the fall, which lets me talk about some other things that I'm interested in here on the show. And I think beekeeping is an art, and there are a lot of interesting things that I think many people may not be aware of in terms of bees. And I've got a good friend here, David Glover, who does business as the Bartlett Bee Whisperer, and he's joined me today. Welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much, Darryl.
A lot of times, this time of year especially, and earlier in the spring, people will go out into the yards and they'll see, oh my gosh, there's a huge ball of bees in my Bartlett pear tree here. What do I do about this? Do I call an exterminator? What can I do? And one of the things that you do, and your friends in the Memphis Area Beekeepers Association do, is you will help people and you will come and get those bees out of their trees. But let's back up a little bit and talk about what's going on there. Why is there a big ball of bees out in this tree?
Well, Mother Nature has a very fun way of reproduction in the world. Most of her kind of understand where puppies come from.
Sure.
You know, you got dogs out in the yard, and next thing you know, you've got puppies. Well, with honeybees, they don't quite reproduce the way that we would normally expect. For them, they've got one reproducer in the hive. That's mm-hmm. the queen. Mm-hmm. She lays eggs somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 eggs a day during the breeding season. You know, that's when the bees are building up, getting ready to get their honey and get their pollen going. Well, that starts around January.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she starts building up a large nest of bees. And sometimes they get confined. You know, think about your house. If you, your grandparents, your grandkids, you know, six generations maybe, all lived in the same house, it'd be kind of tight.
Right.
And that's why we kick the kids out when they're 18 years old, and they're gone, so we have a little breathing room. Well, that happens inside the hive. The queen is laying a bunch of eggs, all her babies are hatching out, and they're getting very congested. And when they sense that congestion, well, the queen starts to slow down on laying eggs, and she gets her flight weight back. She trims up just like mom down at the spa. Once she gets to that level, half the bees get on the outside of the hive, and they kind of hang out waiting for mom to come outside.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when mom comes outside, this big bee tornado goes down the street, and they stop. Well, for last year, mom hasn't been flying. She's been laying eggs.
Right.
So when she gets her flight weight back, well, she hasn't been flying. She gets tired real fast. And wherever she stops is where the rest of the bees stop, and they just ball up. And as scary as it looks, this is probably the most peaceful they'll ever be. Honeybees are defensive. They defend hive, and they defend their honey and their brood. And when they're balled up on the side of a tree, they don't have either one of those available to them. So they ball up, and they wait to see when mom's ready to go. And sometimes, while they're waiting there, they'll start actually building comb on the side of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And if mom doesn't take off again, well, that comb is on the outside of the tree, and they'll build a hive on the outside, which isn't good in this area, because during winter,
right.
they'll all die.
Right.
So they're looking for a new home, and they'll stay there anywhere from an hour to a week. They have no food stores with them, so after a few days, they're going to get kind of grumpy. And that's when you need to have a beekeeper come by and pick them up. We know what we're doing. We come in with a bottle of sugar water. We spray them down. Gives them a little bit of something to eat, calms them down. The other thing it does is it keeps them in place. Bees can't fly when they're wet.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't, well, they can't get a bar of soap and water and wash it all off. They have to have another bee clean them off. So while they're all tied up, cleaning themselves off, we come in with a box or a bucket or a bag, kind of pop the limb, they fall in, and we walk away with everybody.
There you go.
Can take a couple of hours, or it could just take a couple of minutes for us to do it. But that's what we do.
Okay. So if you go out of your house and in your backyard and you see a big ball of bees up in the tree, don't panic. They're probably not going to hurt you. Call a beekeeper. Go online to Memphis Area Beekeepers. There's
Correct.
A whole list of people who will come and get those bees for you.
The best place to look on the website is Help, I've Got a Swarm.
There you go.
And it gives you a whole list of us. And that also goes with houses, too, because sometimes bees move into houses.
Right. That's actually a big part of your business is getting bees out of people's houses.
That's exactly what I do. Sometimes bees, what they're looking for, take them back to the swarm mode, they're looking for a new home.
Mm-hmm.
For bees to have a home, they need about 2 cubic feet of space. And they need an opening less than 2 inches in diameter.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking for less because around 2 inches, you know, birds, mice, rats, whatever can get into.
Right, right.
So something smaller than that. So look up around the edge of your roof and look at your shingles and look at that gap. If it's around 5/16 of an inch, well, that's an open door for them. And that's where they go, under the shingles, between the siding and the bricks, under the eaves, in your soffit, in your chimney. A lot of different places that they can get into. And once they get in, most of the time, they're in to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, three times this year, I've gone to houses where I've actually watched the bees coming and going from the side of the house. When we get scheduled to do the removal, we go back to the side of the house, there's nothing there.
Hmm.
Something about that home they didn't like.
Yeah.
And so they've continued their journey somewhere else. So three times people have bit the bullet and the bees have gone. There's nothing to do. Most of the other times they actually move in. And once they move in, they start building comb, putting away honey, putting away pollen, raising up babies. And when they do this, you may think that a can of wasp spray will work. What you're looking at on the side of your house where the bees are coming and going is just the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
You've got, in a general swarm, between 20 and 30,000 bees. So what you see at the edge of your house may be 50 to 100 bees. Inside the wall are the other thousands. And when you spray that edge, you kill a few of the bees, but you don't kill what's inside. And as long as mom is not taken care of,
mm-hmm.
she's going to continue laying eggs and raising up bees. I've actually got one house I did where they sprayed really good, and they killed the hive. So they thought. About 6 weeks later, they came in and called me and said, the bees are back. And when I opened up the side of the house, there was a dead hive. All the comb was blacked. And it was really kind of curious because I was watching the bees travel across the black comb past one floor joist into another vacant spot, and there was the hive. They're smart.
Sure.
If there's poison here, don't live here. Mm-hmm. Let's move over. Mm-hmm. And that's what they did.
So again, if you suspect you have bees in your house, if you see bees coming and going, don't get up there with a can of wasp spray. Call a beekeeper, call David, and they'll come in. And literally, you go into these houses and into these floor joists and ceilings, and you remove the comb itself, and then you vacuum up all the bees there.
Correct. And the reason we do that is twofold. One, if you do kill the hive, that wax is going to melt. As it melts, the honey will drip down into the house. And you may not see it. One house I did, they did exactly that. They killed it. And the honey dripped down through the ceiling, mm-hmm. hit crown molding, and followed down the gap in the crown molding 15 feet to the other end of the house and started dripping through on that far end. So that the homeowner thought he had two hives of bees instead of one, and wouldn't take my word for the fact that the honey was traveling until we pulled the crown molding down, opened up his ceiling in two different places. No bees. They're not there. It's following. It's just... honey's like water. It goes to the lowest point, and
sure.
once it finds a weakness, it drips through. Sometimes it will ferment in your walls.
Yeah.
That stinks. Worse than the fermentation of the honey is thousands of dead bees. If you've ever had a dead rat in your house, it smells bad. Thousands of dead bees moldering in your ceiling is nasty. It's horrible. It'll take your breath away.
So, if you think you have bees, call a beekeeper and you know, let them take the whole comb and everything out. Because, and this sort of leads into what we want to talk about next, you guys, when you take these bees out of these houses, you reuse them. You give them to other beekeepers. you recycle these bees that you remove.
Actually, recycle was the word I was going to say, because that's what happens. The bees, we don't have as much normal space for them to live in. We don't have the dead trees that are normal for
right.
them. So when they build into a house, they're just doing what they're supposed to do. They're looking for space. They're our pollinators. They take care of our food. So when we remove the bees out of the house, we take the brood comb, that's all the babies, hive it up, put it in a box, vacuum up the bees, put the bees in the box, and we go out to a farm. I can't keep all the bees that I take out of houses. I'm not that financially lucrative yet. But there are other beekeepers who have lost hives over winter or because of colony collapse. They just don't have them anymore. So these bees get given back into the Memphis Area Beekeepers Association. They're given, okay? The bees come out. We need to put them somewhere where they're useful. We put them on the fields. They pollinate for us. And we can monitor them in the boxes. We can't monitor them in houses. Last year, nationally, we lost 37% of our hives. That's scary. I mean, that's one-third of our pollinators. Now, we monitor honeybees because Well, we get honey from them.
Right.
That's the plus on honeybees. They're really good at doing what they do, and they're dying. When you lose one-third of your honey production, one-third of your bees, you're also losing one-third of the pollination. Honeybees are monitored. We're not monitoring butterflies, sweat bees, bumblebees, because they really don't do anything that man wants. Man mm-hmm. wants honey. Mm-hmm. We want that sugar. One-third of our bees died last year. In the state of Tennessee, we lost 24% of our bees. That's 24% of our honey producers. That's 24% of our pollinators. Let's put it down to what we need. A third of what we eat comes to us because a pollinator pollinated our food. If we lose the honeybees, if we lose the butterflies, then we lose a third of our food. That's direct food. Mm-hmm. Let's go indirectly. Cattle. Hamburger is not pollinated. Bacon's not pollinated either. I just throw that out there. But they eat things that were pollinated. The grasses, the natural forbs, the rotten fruit. Those things get eaten by animals, and then we in turn eat the meat. Chickens. Mm-hmm. They eat a lot of insects. They eat a lot of bugs. They eat a lot of stuff that's in the ground. Consider them as pollinators because they're going around hitting plants too. If those die, then the chickens die. Without chickens, beef, pork, we die. That's scary.
Yeah, so that's important. And that, of course, is the reason that you do recycle these bees, that you don't kill them. We want to not kill them. We want to increase them. So it's very important. David, this has been fascinating. Thanks so much for coming out and talking to me today.
I appreciate it. Listen, anytime. Once again, go back, Memphis Area Beekeepers Association. There are 100, 200 beekeepers in the Memphis area. You don't see us. Most of the time you don't see our hives and you don't see our bees. Bees are not aggressive. The honeybees are not aggressive. Wasps, hornets, they are. You're going to see them. You're going to feel them. But the honeybees, look in your yard. If you don't have flowers, put some flowers out there. Do something nice to try to help our bees live. A little bit of clover is not bad. My neighbors may not like it, but I seed clover in my front yard and I let it go to flower before I mow. Watch them. They're not going to hurt you unless you squish them or you go up close to their hive and get too close to them. Honeybees are very gentle. That's about the best I can say it. I enjoy them. I love watching them. I love watching what they do. And just think back to the little fuzzy bear, the little honey bear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without the bee, we can't have the bear. And we need them.
David Glover, the Bartlett Bee Whisperer. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
You can reach David at thebartlettbeewhisperer.com or on Facebook. If you'd like more information about beekeeping in the Memphis area, memphisareabeekeepers.com. If you have a swarm, go to that site and click on Help, I Have a Swarm. They also have a lot of other programs, including programs for beginning beekeepers. Checking on the Arts is made possible by contributing listeners and by the Memphis Symphony Orchestra. The 2013-2014 season is fast approaching, and tickets are available now. Highlights include Copland's Lincoln Portrait, Tchaikovsky Symphony No. 4, Beethoven's Pastorale, and Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue. Tickets and information available at 537-2525 or memphissymphony.org.